Well, the liturgy has been lingering at the Jordan River, Jesus' baptism. We've seen it from a couple of perspectives. And John, Jesus, has left there and went up back to Nazareth, his home. He still had not begun to preach. There was the wedding at Cana. That came a little bit later. Jesus spent 30 years working as a common man, unknown to others as to who he was. He was a carpenter. He was a worker, working with his hands in both wood and in stone. And this is where he learned his trade. He never preached. And then suddenly, he emerges preaching the kingdom of God. The trigger for this was John's arrest. And suddenly, at the moment of John's arrest, that entire era had ended. No longer was it possible for someone to come to the Jordan River and to repent of their sins. John the Baptist's time had come and gone, and the opportunity to see him was gone forever. This is a metaphor for life. Some opportunities never come again. And Jesus realizes that his moment to step into the stage had come. And so he leaves the comfort of Nazareth and the obscurity and his mother up there and their extended family, and he settles in Capernaum by the Sea. Now, Capernaum by the Sea, at the time of Christ, was a very cosmopolitan town. If you go there today, you will find a little tourist town, and it's still a fishing village, but the majority of the towns along the sea, especially along that northern coast, it's very sparsely populated, even though it's an extremely fertile area. And this is partly because the fishing is very depleted compared to 2,000 years ago, but mostly because it's still not really a very safe area. You know, what with the Golan Heights to the north of that, which in the time of Christ was definitely in the land of Israel, though pagan, was occupied by the Romans then. So it was a very, very occupied area, and Jesus begins to walk along the sea. This was not a dirt road or something. Don't make the mistake of thinking these were backward people. This would have been a paved Roman road, and it was filled with all kinds of shops and beautiful views of the sea and people making their living primarily through fishing and all of the businesses that would have been associated with that. Just like agriculture is so important here in the Willamette Valley. And Jesus is, you might think from this gospel that Peter and Andrew were seeing Jesus for the first time. But if we read the whole gospel, we know that when Jesus was at the Jordan River, Andrew was there because Andrew was a follower of John the Baptist. This does not mean he lived with John. It's kind of like being an oblate of the abbey up at Mount Angel. You know, you would come and go and get your spiritual nourishment. So Andrew must have come down a number of times to hear John preach. But then he would go back to his fishing business. So he was a follower. And one of these visits, he happened to be there when Jesus came up to be baptized. And he was really intrigued by Jesus and went and got his brother Peter. Don't know whether he went up to Galilee to get him or if he was there. And he said, "Come and see whom I found. I think we may have found the Christ." And so they both had met or had viewed Jesus from a distance. So when Jesus calls, they had been thinking about him. No doubt they had talked to James and John, their partners in business, about Jesus. Jesus is walking along the shore, and he sees them. I love this gospel so much because it's got a pun in it. You know, I'm always one for a good pun. You know, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. You know, how intriguing. Imagine if they had said, "Well, Lord, you know, my dad needs me today. Would you come by tomorrow?" He would have kept going, and their lives would have never been the same. That was the moment. They had to be ready. God will call you and give you something to do. We have to recognize it because some opportunities never come again. You know, people walk out of our lives one way or another sometimes, and we don't even have a chance to say goodbye, you know, as we all know. And Jesus gives us these opportunities. Now, the way I see it, life continues to be this way. Jesus is still walking along the Sea of Galilee in this world, looking for followers. Who is he calling? It's interesting that while he was down by the Jordan River, why didn't he stop in Jerusalem and call rabbis, Pharisees, and Sadducees? We know we had Pharisees following him. They weren't all enemies. But these are not the people we hear about in the Gospels. He wasn't looking for people with theology degrees. If he were here today, I doubt he would have gone to Mount Angel to look for his first followers or one of the more successful Protestant churches in town or the bishop. Where would he go? He would be walking down River Road. Maybe he'd find the guy with the pizza sign, you know, or that person with the Statue of Liberty hat on. Well, there's a job for you. And he'd say, you know, you think, come follow me. And you think, what kind of a person is this to be in his executive committee? This is very deliberate. Jesus is calling the common man. Those guys had assets that Jesus wanted. I'll tell you a little personal story. After I graduated from college, in a year that I'm not going to say, but you can figure it out, if you look on my Facebook page, I entered a monastery down in California at Val Yermo, and that did not work out for me. But my name was Brother Andrew, so when this reading comes up, it's the only place where the word Brother Andrew shows up, so I always feel a little twinge of memory. And after that happened, I wanted to be in ministry, and I wanted to be a priest and a monk. But after that happened, I went through a period of, well, now what do? I ended up working at the census in L.A., in San Diego for a year in the office. I wasn't going door-to-door or anything. It was a small job, but I really enjoyed it. I was kind of in between things, you know. And then I got a job working for the airline, which was a very, very good job. And I had to pass a math test. I don't know how in the world I passed this math test. Well, they said only 1 in 100 passed the test, but somehow I got the job. And I was not very happy my first 5 years there. I was selling airline tickets. I wasn't particularly good at it. And I was making lots of money and traveling all over the world and quite miserable. And I didn't understand what God wanted for me. I wanted to be a priest. I said, that's when ministry will begin for me. This is when I will begin to serve the Lord. And then my mother got sick. And when I got done taking care of her, that lasted longer than I thought it would. Many of you have experienced similar things where somebody gets gravely ill and then it lasts a lot longer than you think it will. But when I came back, my life got settled down. I got what I consider to be a very, very good job there, working in the lost luggage department, which most of you would hate. It was really funny because I found that I excelled at that. And I had an intuitive sense that what people wanted, and they didn't train me this way, but I realized very quickly the way to be effective in customer service, where everybody that calls is mad at you, or mad at the company you represent, is to care about their story. Listen to them. Don't talk, just listen. Then express empathy and make sure it's sincere, which it was. Then be competent, and then do your best to help them. That was what was needed. And I was very successful at that. I realized it was a ministry. Everybody I called, I wanted to give Christ to. And I began to realize, and after I entered the seminary, I realized that ministry following Christ did not begin when I entered Mount Angel. I was 35 years old at that time. And the same is true for the people in the gospel here. They were in the midst of their life's work when they were called. God called the common man and woman at their daily occupations. I was an agent for Christ, not an agent for the airline, not an agent for whatever else I did. I shelved library books for 5 years when I was in college and high school. I was very blessed with these jobs, but I didn't realize that every book that I shelved was done for Christ. Seems like nothing, doesn't it? But I tried to make sure that the shelves were neat. You know, what is my work ethic? Am I doing this for Christ? I'm an agent for Christ. I don't work for the city of Los Angeles. I work for Christ. When I go to school, yes, I have to get good grades. Yes, I want to go to college. But really, I'm doing this for Christ. What if I'm in a job I hate? What if I don't like my boss? What if the people I work with bug me? But I'm stuck. I have to earn a paycheck for my family. I'm grateful to have a job. Who am I really working for? I'm working for Christ. I'm an agent of the kingdom of God. This is what Christ is calling us to do and to be. Being an agent of the kingdom of God is not just for priests and monks. I did not realize fully until I entered the seminary that all along I had been an agent for Christ, that he was obviously preparing me for the work, my life's work, that I was going to do. And it was a very good preparation. But I didn't realize that even the suffering in the times I was most miserable were times when I could have offered all of that to God, the suffering, and it would have been very, very pleasing to God. But I didn't make use of it. I missed my opportunity. Christ passed by repeatedly the Sea of Galilee that I happened to be living around. You know, Capernaum by the sea, Kaiser by the sea. With all this rain, we have been kind of Kaiser by the sea, haven't we? Kaiser by Lake Labish keeps resurrecting from the dead, along with Lake Mallory and all the other lakes around this place. And Christ is there, and he's still calling. And, you know, the world that we live in, this comes from 2,000 years ago. Doesn't this sound like something that we live in now? The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, a light has shone. Haven't we been living in it overshadowed by death the last 12 days, many of us? My gosh, I've thought of nothing else, I think. But, you know, our whole society is kind of a culture of death. The people who don't know Christ think that death is the answer to so many of our problems. I was just talking with a parishioner today whose baby was born. They thought it had some kind of I don't know what it was that the baby had. Beautiful 8-pound baby. I don't know how this baby got born. It was so big, you know. But some mother really suffered to have that baby. But the doctor gave her a test and said, "This child may have this. Would you like to terminate the pregnancy?" And that baby almost didn't get born. That's our society's answer to a problem. But Christ has a different answer. He has the light. We've seen the light. What is this good news? Jesus says, "I want you to be my agent. I'm calling you where you're at. You're retired. You're in school. You're at work. You have a job you don't like. You have a job you do. You've got a marriage that works. You've got a marriage that doesn't. You're sick. You're well." Whatever our condition in life, I am an agent in the place I go to. I go to the grocery store today. I'm God's agent while I'm there. Am I watching for opportunities to be an agent of the kingdom of God? I'm a secret agent for God's kingdom, even though I've never seen it. And he says, prepare, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That means, number one, I am one step away from the world to come. I do not know if I will be here next week. I don't mean to sound morbid, but I never come out, especially for Sunday Mass, I always think, this might be my last Sunday with you. I'm going to put my heart and soul into this. Probably not, but you never know. And I think that's the blessing of being in the light. I'm not afraid of that. It gives a sense of urgency to my life. I don't want to spend my life just sitting in front of the TV or the computer. I want to be doing something for the kingdom of God. Even when I'm watching TV or the movies, are my choices godly? You know, everything I do, am I an agent for the kingdom? And then he says, what is our task? The first task is to repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, Jesus is passing by the Sea of Galilee, if you will. He's called my name. Suddenly, the kingdom of God has come. Where has it come? Not in the world around me. Not even in the church as it's externally visible. The kingdom of God is within the members of each individual church, of each individual member of the church, hidden inside of me. I am God's secret agent. I have a mission. You have a mission. It is to be God's agent in the world where you are right now. all of us are involved in this together. If it's only left up to priests and nuns, nothing's going to get done. This is my role. Your role is to be an agent for Jesus in your life. We have to pray about what that means. It's something different for every person. For some, it's the call to suffer. For others, it's the call to rejoice. But all of us are working for Christ. Jesus continues to walk by the Sea of Galilee. You know, that was only a period of 3 years that he did this. And yet he never stopped walking along the sea of life. In every age he passes by, he calls the unlikely, not the ones that we would choose to be leaders or followers. He's very selective. But he called all of us because we're here. What is your mission? Am I an agent for the kingdom? Am I working toward my conversion every day? The Holy Spirit will help you to see what areas of life I'm called to be God's representative on earth. And so we pray that we will be good agents for the kingdom of God as we prepare for the kingdom of God is at hand.